Welcome to the Unpacking Sunday podcast, where we take a deeper look at what God is speaking to you, to our church, and to the world around us. So grab a coffee, sit back, and let's unpack it together.
Hello, church.
Luke, you're here.
Hello, Mike.
And that's a different intro than we're used to.
You know, Josh is not here, so we can change it up a little
He's
bit.
He's not here.
It's his thing, and I don't want to pretend.
He is happily taking the morning off.
Yeah, I don't want to pretend that I'm Josh, no. So it's all good.
Yeah, so there was no all right. There was a hello this morning. Yeah,
hello.
Happy Easter, Luke.
Happy Easter to you, Mike.
And here we are after Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. I love this post that I shared yesterday. It wasn't my post. Okay. I just shared it.
Okay.
And it's just a quick reminder. It was on Monday, and it just said, "He's still risen today." Mm-hmm. It's a good reminder.
Yeah, it is.
Imagine every day if we just woke up, oh, he's still risen.
Yeah, the stone is still rolled
It's
away.
Still rolled.
Yeah.
We sang a song like that.
We did.
Yeah.
It was a good song.
I love that song.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a good song. It was a good weekend because the whole combination of... Good Friday to Sunday. I have a funny thing to tell you about Good Friday, though. I won't say any names, but we invited some friends over for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Good Friday. So somebody who goes to our church here. And we invited them. My wife invited them out. And the phrasing was, "Would you guys join us for dinner on Good Friday?" But the person said, in that moment, they're like, "Is that Good Friday for dinner or is that a Good Friday dinner?" She's like trying to think of like, what do I bring that's sad? What do I do? A sad dessert, you know, that kind of thing. what is the proper response? And we're like, no, we just wanted to see you. There's no Good Friday dinner isn't a thing, but maybe it should be a sad dinner. We should do that next year. A sad Good Friday dinner.
I guess that's like the Passover.
Good dinner. Good Friday or Good Friday dinner. That's
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, it made me laugh. It was good.
On Easter this year, speaking of dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I finally did something that I've always wanted to do.
Okay.
I've always wanted to have lamb on Easter.
Oh, man.
Because I just feel like...
Well, first of all...
Yeah, first of all, it's my... probably my favorite meat.
Yeah, I love
it. It's so delicious. But also, it's just symbolic of Easter that you would have lamb.
Absolutely.
And so I finally did it, and I cooked it for the first time, and I must say I did an excellent job.
You did. That's great.
I mean, you didn't eat it, but
I just can feel it. Yeah. And I know that if it was anything short of superb, you'd be disappointed.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
knowing you. So to hear you say you did a good job, I'm sure
it was fantastic. Was really good.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. That's great.
So anyway, happy Easter. What is like the... I know everyone listening, or most people listening, probably know the story of Easter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people listening probably are from our church.
Right.
And so we don't necessarily need to go over what's the Easter story, but for you this year, what's God doing in your heart, or like what was significant for you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so much. I think that I'm always so emotional. Especially during our services. It's like just to see, it really just kind of comes to the forefront, the reminder. I think, you know, we can live our lives as a Christian walk and not really, you know, take a microscopic look at what Jesus did on a daily basis. So when we get to it, I think it's just so, it feels so weighty, you know? So like Good Friday, I think just during worship, during these services, and it's just so hard for me to keep it together. I feel like it's like every word is like, it's just kind of like, it's just so at the surface. So I felt that a lot. And I think there was, on Easter, there was a young girl in the front row, just first song, just weeping, just like seeing that emotional connection of in the reality. And so, yeah, it's like, I can't even look that way. Seeing this young girl just like, being so emotional about it. And I'm like, I'm trying to sing a song here.
Right.
I'm trying to hold it together. But yes, I think for me, I just love that, the beautiful image of the angels, is it Luke or maybe it's John that talks about the actual empty tomb and how just the image looks, it's reminiscent of the Ark of the Covenant and how Jesus not being there, but with the angels standing on either side of the bed and Mary being the first person to enter the new Holy of Holies. It's just like, to me, that image always hits me on Easter. Just this idea of going from the inaccessible to this woman who, you know, was set free by Jesus and who just kind of stumbled into the new Holy of Holies. It's such a beautiful representation of the new covenant. Cool. And I think that just hits me so hard every time. It's just how Jesus just made it so easy for us to boldly just walk on in and to meet him at the feet of, you know, the Father and to be there. I don't know. It's just, I think it's just something that really sticks with me as we've gone through this weekend. It's just like how my whole life wants to be pursuing the presence of the Holy Spirit and you know, yeah. So I think that that's one thing that I walked away from this weekend, just never wanting to take for granted the accessibility of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has done for us. So,
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. God's good. Easter, Easter weekend. This Easter I was, my kids are like, well, my two oldest kids are a bit older now, right? Like, they're not old.
Yeah,
they're 8 and 10.
Yeah.
But I felt like on Saturday we were sitting at dinner and I felt like I want to just tell them like actually how significant it is what Jesus did. And so I kind of went into like quite graphic detail of what it would have been like.
Right.
But the point was like, do you see that there's nothing that Jesus wouldn't do for you? Right. And I think for me, that's one of my favorite memories of this weekend was watching my kids understand what had happened for them.
Yeah.
And like how difficult, like, it's not just that he was nailed to a cross and then died on the cross, like how excruciating that would have been and humiliating what he went through. And even like, as I was doing my own learning this weekend, you know, I read this passage briefly on Sunday too, is when they, when Jesus says, I'm thirsty, and they take this sponge and they put it on the hyssop plant. And like, what was that sponge even for?
Right.
And for Roman soldiers, this was probably the sponge that they literally washed their whole bodies with, these like gross, sweaty soldiers that had to stand there all day until Jesus died. And then he's thirsty. And so they take this dirty sponge and they put it in this sour wine. Because he's thirsty. And it's just like, wow, what humiliation as well and pain that Jesus went through. And watching my kids like understand how low Jesus went for them. Right? And but then speaking even to my family at dinner last night is like the great heights that that brings us to is like how low Jesus went is like, wow, he understands where we come from. And the liberty that we can have now because of that, and the joy and confidence that it brings me is like, oh, it doesn't matter what my life looked like. Jesus would go lower and lower and lower. And so it's quite a remarkable thing. It, you said on Sunday, it's the best story ever told. Actually, you like shouted it into your microphone. It's the
most beautiful story ever told. I did. I shouted it.
You loud. Did shout it. Yeah.
You just get so caught up and passionate about it. It's like, yeah, I just want people to like, to feel it, you know? Because, you know, I don't want ever be guilty of being that worship leader that doesn't like remind people that we're here to sing to Jesus, not about him.
Right.
So, yeah. And so, yeah, like, you know, I got one mode, as you well know. It's good.
And what would you, okay, so we went through like kind of a, there was pretty clear 3 points on Sunday to the message. So if we're going to unpack it a little bit, which one is maybe the most challenging for you to accept or apply into your life? We talked about Jesus being enough for our past, forgiving us from our sins, for our present, the Holy Spirit living in us, and for our future, like our inheritance in heaven.
Right.
And that all of this was sealed for us really at the resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
And but I think sometimes we can wrestle through one of these, or in different seasons of life, it feels like one is, we're not applying one or standing in the confidence of one of those. Is there one that you've struggled through?
I think, like I, you know, for me, my story has been that I don't have much of a past, if you will. I definitely have, you know, like I'm, you know, I'm a human being, but like I was, you know, born again and speaking in tongues at 6 years old. So it's not like I had like, you know, this, this like, it's like my whole life has been kind of in pursuit of Jesus and through becoming, you know, as I get older and as I even just find myself in this kind of middle stage of life, I just really want to pursue trusting God in deeper ways. But I think, you know, through my younger years and through my 20s and everything, I think where I've really struggled is trusting that God really has good things in store for the future. You know, it's like, okay, I know that he had things in store,
right?
You know, but yeah, it's like, God, you know, it always seems like you have hard things in store, you know, right, like that kind of thing, as opposed to this idea of like, you know, and I'm not talking about financial success, or I'm not talking about, you know, what my version of what God's plan should be. It's just trusting him that like what he has isn't going to be like, you know, a Job story for me or something like that, you know? So I think, but now, as I'm, you know, more established in this part of my life, it's like either way, whatever it looks like, whatever God has, I know that it's better than what I could have wanted, you know? So, yeah. So even if it is hard, it's like to have the cross and the gospel and the feet of Jesus to grasp onto, just to have that in my daily life. Like, so I'm much more appreciative now, I think, of who the person of Jesus is. So, because I know that in his kindness and his gentleness, he's drawn me into a relationship with him. And I know that whatever he has in store, whatever it looks like, whatever my story, however it unfolds, I will have him to cling to. Yeah. So, so I think where I did struggle the most was the future, knowing that maybe what my desires were and what his desires weren't the same. But now I'm at this point where I'm like, you know, that mortar has ground me down to the point where I'm like, it doesn't matter as long as I have you, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. And what do you see, like, if you were to look out at the church or some, or at our culture, what do you see? Like, where could we be growing, or what encouragement would you give to us?
As a church?
Yeah. Like just in regards to what we spoke about on Sunday, you know, Jesus is enough for all of these facets of our life. Right. How do we ensure that? How do we walk in that? What can we do with that?
Oh, I think it's so easy to get caught up in, like we were talking about, Jesus is enough for the present as well, and which bleeds into the future, obviously, if your feet are established in Jesus. So one, I think really what it comes down to is the daily bread. That's what God has always called his children to. And it's this, the trust for today, you know, he's like, don't worry about tomorrow, you know, like you can trust me. And I think that really what it comes to is stepping past into that threshold of fully trusting God for today is really like, I find like if we could all be doing that, if we could all be, you know, finding ourselves in deep trust for today, we would look like a different church, you know, in the near future. But I think it's so hard. You know, I heard a really wise person one talk about how, you know, Jesus has redeemed our past and the Father holds our future. The Holy Spirit is active and present in our present, in right now, you know? And I think it's oftentimes we forget that the Holy Spirit is here to work in us now, right now, not in our dreams for the future, in the distant future, you know, or the trusting Father for what he has. But it's the Holy Spirit working in the now. That's where he's most active. And so
how do you balance that with, some people would say, being responsible? Or like, you know, we make plans. And so how do I balance like making plans, but then not worrying about tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, like are those plans based, or are they based on, you know, trusting in Jesus? Are they based on, like walking with him today? Because we can make plans. We can book a holiday, you know, that kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, I've had so many situations in my life where I've made plans outside of, you know, of listening to God's voice. And then because they were fueled from selfish ambition, they crumbled and they fell apart. And it's just humiliating and humbling every time. So I'm just kind of like, I'm now, my plans are really like, I just want Jesus, what Jesus wants. I can walk towards things, but I'm constantly trying to ask him, Lord, is this what you want? Because I find that if I don't, there I go again, taking control, taking the reins, and then find myself distant from what he wants or whatever. So yeah, I think again, it's that trust for today, and like, and knowing that you know, you can lead us into. And as far as being responsible goes, it's like, I think that, yeah, if we are just kind of always just looking for what God's guidance in things, it doesn't have to be like get down on your hands and knees and pray because you want to go to the grocery store. But it's like, you know, this kind of thing is that if we can always just have that in the back of my mind, God, would you guide me in this? Would you guide me in this? You know, that kind of praying without ceasing, according to our plans. He's never going to let us, you know, walk off into the sunset with, you know, away from him. Right. That kind of thing. So, yeah, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I think like, and I said last week, I'm having this wrestle right now. And I think that it can become an issue when we lean into like what's wise and what's responsible versus what's faithful. Right. And you know, because so often we say that we're just being responsible or good stewards or we're just being wise, but really what we're doing is we're like trying to control the outcome or we're trying to like make sure in our own strength that it ends the way we want it to or we think it should. Right. And I'm just keep being reminded of like scripture actually tells us that the beginning of wisdom is just the fear of God. Right.
Right.
And so if I just fear God enough that I do what he says, and fear is like, I'm not afraid of him, but you respect and you revere him enough that I'll just be obedient for today. That's the wisest thing I could do.
Right.
And then like, and not make a dumb choice.
For sure.
Right. But like if God said something and then tomorrow I just, again, do what he told me to do. And then the next day, then, you know, of course we can plan and we can hope for things, but it just puts God a little bit, if you ever could, in a box when we when we try to say, oh, I'm going to be wise and I'm going to do this.
Right.
Or that's not wise, even though God told you, oh, it doesn't seem wise to me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So we don't do it.
Yeah, it's true. I think like I'm just reminded of the image of when in John, as he's writing Revelation and the resurrected, glorified Jesus appears to him. It's like, this is John who knew Jesus. Like, yes, however, 60 years is something that passed by or something like this, but this is the person who referred to himself as the one whom he loved, you know, this, and yet seeing Jesus in his glorified form, he fell down on his face as dead, it says. You know, and it's like, this is a person who was familiar with the person of Jesus. And so it's like, yeah, this idea of fear of God, I think it really comes down to this idea of that. We so often can create this image of Jesus, how, you know, it's like, we were just like, I'm going to crawl up in your lap when I finally meet you. But it's like, this is a person, you know, who we see who Jesus is. It's like, oh no, it's not that isn't a reality. But the thing is this is a person who looks like lightning and, you know, and heated bronze or whatever. And so like this idea of like his holiness, his perfection, his glorifiedness. And it's like, how can that impact our decisions? How can this adjusting our image of Jesus to this idea of like, I need to, and I want to be in right standing with that Jesus, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. Not only the humble servant of men who came to wash our feet, but also glorify Jesus, you know?
Right.
You can find a balance there somewhere. Right. So, yeah.
And like, I think losing ourselves a little bit, like it sounds so scriptural because we're told that if we want to find our lives, we have to lose it. Right. And only then will we find real life. But so often we try to protect our life. Right. And we want to like, even I think so often we put up boundaries. We like do all these things to protect ourselves. Right. Oh, I'm not going to do that. People can't talk to me like that. I'm not going to spend my time there or like do this.
Right.
But it's like, we are never in scripture are you told protect your life. Make sure that you reserve certain things. Do this. No.
Make sure your finances are in order.
You're not. We are told lose your life, waste your life for Jesus.
Right.
And then it's his job to protect you and to lead you and to guide you and keep you. And he actually said he can. You can't.
Right.
But he could.
Right.
And so I think when we're talking about, oh, where could we go or what's an encouragement for the church? It's like, what would it look like if even what you're saying, you know, trusting God for our future, trusting God for our right now, so much so that it would seem like to others that we're wasting our life on Jesus.
Right. Right.
So I think that would be amazing.
Right.
So heading out of Easter, this has been a thought that's on my mind, and maybe we'll close with this.
Sure.
What are you taking from Easter or from the service, or even let's say how you prepared for the service,
right,
that you would say, I wish I would just do this every week, not only on Easter?
Right.
What is that thing?
Right. Well, I saw this like post, you know, we both love John Thurlow. This he's a worship leader who has encouragement, practical encouragement for worship leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like he just, one of his encouragement for worship leaders this weekend was, in spite of all the details, in spite of the production and the prep and the rehearsals, make sure, worship leader, that you're connecting with the eyes of Jesus who's looking at you with, from the cross, you know? And so I think for me, I want to make sure that in every week as I'm planning, that at one point, I want to make sure that our people, not only myself, but our people are looking and connecting with, you know, those eyes that were, so I'm doing this for you and I'd do it if it was only you, you know, that kind of thing. So often you can just get caught up in, well, you know, this is a song that we need to keep familiar, or, you know, this, you know, the preparation to be, you know, and I just want to enter every week and sit in quiet and say, Jesus, what do you want your people to sing this week?
Mm-hmm.
And then make sure that, they're singing to Jesus and not about Jesus. I think that's, you know, seeing that happen this week and just the room full of people being moved emotionally. And it's like, this shouldn't just be contained to one week in a year, you know, that kind of thing. It should be, it should be every time we gather that there's this sacredness, this, this expectation, you know, and that's my hope and my prayer for the future.
So, right.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep trusting God that he's going to do a work in our church and in people who are obedient and who look at him in all that we do. So, church, we love you, and we'll see you next week.
Yep.
Unpacking Sunday is a podcast of Caribou Road Christian Fellowship Church. If you're interested in more information, please check out our website at www.crcfchurch.com.